Speed Talk on 1360 here on KRWC. Dean and Jason talking racing. It's your one-hour weekly celebration of motorsports right here on the radio. And when I'm talking about celebrating, we got to bring in Ron Krogh, one of our favorite announcers of all time. Hey, Ronnie, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Good to talk to you guys again, Jason. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. Hey, it is fishing opener, and I know that you have wet a line in your day. Do you have any fishing reports for us?
Oh, boy. I'm just looking out across the lake here right now. I tell you what, about midnight, you should have heard the pickups of snow going by my yard out here. It was pretty interesting out there. But so far, fishing, okay, I seen on Facebook one of the neighbor kids caught a nice big walleye about 2 o'clock this morning. But
he won't say where.
I don't know, other than that.
But he won't say where, right?
Well, you know, they always lie to you what lake to catch them on. So, you always got to follow them around to see where their pickups are parked, I guess, guys. But, it's still a nice day out, though, and I think you're going to see a lot of people out having a good time. It feels to be out this weekend, especially with the racing a little bit slow yet.
Well, we are talking, you know, we don't really talk about fishing openers too much, but we do talk about racing openers a lot. And you were supposed to have the opener up at Fergus Falls last night, but it got rained out, right?
Yes, it sure did. It rained hard here about 8/10 on Thursday, and then it continued till about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. And, you know, and they were looking at it, but I drove out there, and the pits are pretty wet. And at 3 o'clock, they couldn't get on the track yet, so I think they made the right call. Back that one out, they're going to schedule open next Friday night now at 7 o'clock.
Well, that looks pretty exciting. I saw they did some more improvements. God, every year they do more improvements up at Fergus Falls, and now they've put a fancy scoreboard and video up there. I mean, that is something that's kind of unheard of in racing around here.
Boy, isn't it amazing? I got to give, you know, Dick and Carla and Rock and Diana credit there. They spent some money on that baby. It's got the video board with the, you know, and it'll have the, all the, you know, with the transponders, of course, and all the you know, you'll see the cars combined. It'll go blink, 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 just like NASCAR does. And that, and then they picked up a rock picker that I know cost probably $40,000+. It's really a sweet machine that really cleans the rocks out there. So I think that'll be used at other tracks too, because I think now that they've got their track clean, I think it's coming down your way to a couple tracks down there where the people can rent it from them and stuff. And really picks up rocks right down, guys, to almost like a half inch size. So really does a nice job.
Wow, that's incredible. Especially about Fergus Falls, because I know at one time when originally it was dirt before it was paved, that was the problem. They had huge rocks, like boulders practically, that were coming up to the track. So it's nice to see the racing surface really getting worked in. And, of course, best way to work it in is get race cars on the track, though, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Get it back down, get it hard, and let those guys have at it. And, you know, like I said, right now everybody's getting, you know, pretty excited to get out there. You know, a lot of these car streets, you know as well as I do, that a lot of guys have been racing, you know, both in Arizona and then, of course, they went to Florida from there, and then they've been down in Missouri doing some racing. So a few of the guys have gotten out there, but the majority of our local guys are, you know, they're sitting here, and they've been working in them garages. And I know I've stopped by a few race shops, and I'll tell you what, boy, the cars look awesome. It's just amazing the wraps and the graphics these guys put on them now. And, of course, the technology is just getting crazy.
It is. So your Friday night is at I-94 in Fergus Falls. Saturday night, you're at Viking Speedway in Alexandria, right? And I don't think they're racing tonight as well.
Nope, they're backed off, too. They're going to try to practice this afternoon from 3 to 7, I heard, down there. And then Sunday night, we're going to actually get my first opening, I think, maybe, in at Buffalo River Race Park tomorrow night at Linden.
Okay, now I heard some stuff that happened over the winter about some curfews and maybe some problems at the track. Whatever happened with all that?
Boy, that was kind of quite a battle. I know Kevin went through a tough time. Isn't it amazing? You'd think out on Highway 10 with all that road noise blowing by there all day, you wouldn't think noise would be an issue. But they ran their snowbill racing. They ran that through there on a Friday night, and I guess for some reason the bylaw said you couldn't race there on Friday night. So of course he had an issue with the city council, and they got that all worked out. And of course, now it kind of put an end to his motocross racing during the day. So the car racing hasn't been affected, but I think we still got to be done by 11 and things like that. But overall, it all got worked out real good.
Okay, so Friday, Fergus, Saturday, Viking Alexandria, Sunday, Buffalo River. Then what else? Do you have any more racing?
I got one more. I got Wilmer on Thursday night, next Thursday night, so can't forget my buddies down there. That's always a fun place to go.
Now, you're talking Wilmer, right?
Yep, KRA Speedway down in Wilmer.
Okay. Now, they've made some improvements to that place as well. Back when we raced there, people were going over the guardrails and down the backstretch. I think if you went off the track, you'd pretty much go into somebody's yard. But I think they fixed that up, so that problem isn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's a lot better that you still get there. There's that group down in turn three. They got a big tailgate party there every Thursday night. We see about 15, 20 guys down there, and boy, they're having a heck of a party down there. Plenty of beer and burgers being cooked up, and a couple times that we actually have had a car kind of get down there close so that you go up and say hi to them anyway.
In their backyard, they're part. They don't have to pay over there, so I tell you, that's one of the benefits of living close to a racetrack.
Yeah, isn't that true? You know, you think the neighbors, some of them would be, you know, right down the back straight away. You guys know as well as I do there, Jason, that, I mean, the neighbors are, you know, they're 75 feet to the back straight away, you know.
Hey, you got to love it, though. That's what happens when you build a racetrack right in the middle of town. It wasn't in town when they built it, I'm sure.
No, I suppose it built out to it because it's been there for, you know, 100 years or whatever. But you know, and the only thing there, too, it amazes me that being right in the city. But Wilmer does a good thing that, you know, they got to be out there at 10:45 or whatever, or 10:30, and they don't go over that ever, you know. And, of course, that's the secret to it. They've still got a couple people that are not real happy about it. But I think most of the people in town, that's amazing, are really good down there. They, you know, it brings a lot of money into the city and the race people down there have been really good working with the community, too.
Another thing about Wilmer, I got a chance to announce there a couple times, and I know you've been there for quite some time. And the thing, you are actually announcing from the infield. And so when you're announcing, you're kind of turning in a circle. And I did that, and after about 10 laps, my legs were tied up with the microphone cord, and I couldn't even move because I had wound myself up and tied myself up. And so that's kind of one of the added challenges to Kandy Raceway.
You and me both. I tell you what, Jason, that's the same problem I've had there for years. It's so tangled. A lot of times at intermission, I'll be hanging over the end, letting it kind of untangle itself, you know, dropping the mic down. You got plenty of height up there. The other thing I've often thought about that place is that, you know, I wonder how strong this building is if a race car ever came into it if we'd collapse on top of it. But it hasn't happened yet, thank God. But we'll see what happens.
Hey, now I know that you always had a guy that traveled with you to the races. It was an older gentleman. Does he still come with you?
You betcha. Walter Berger. Walt's 83 years old. He was, matter of fact, he was just parking my driveway a little bit ago wondering if we were racing an Alex tonight. But, you know, he's getting a little crippled up. He's got a couple canes he gets around. But, you know, he's been with me, you know, on the road. And when Rita and Ryan and stuff couldn't travel anymore, he's kind of always been with me the whole time. And he rode with us even when they went with. But loves racing, an older gentleman, you know, and just a great friend. I mean, nice to have him along. Like, I always kid him. I says, you know, if the cops ever stopped us at 2 o'clock in the morning when we're coming back from Wilmer, or midnight maybe from Wilmer on a Thursday night, and we're listening to classic rock, two old guys like us, they'd really be looking at us. But that's the only thing that keeps me awake sometimes, you know.
Well, that's the thing, because you live up in the Fergus Falls area, so you've traveled a long ways. I know you announced down in Madison, Minnesota as well. And so you've done a lot of long trips and late trips back and forth, and you have to have somebody with you, or else you end up falling asleep and something could happen.
That's for sure. Oh, and some of the crazy things you get into, you know, you run across people that went in the ditch, ran into a bunch of raccoons one night and hit about seven of them. I felt bad about that. I've avoided deer a few times. I mean, you get some pretty good stories. Both of our eyes have opened up pretty good over the years, but luckily, safely, we've always gotten back home in one piece. And you know, even traveling home, you know, some of the storms we watched come across south of Morris there. I know I seen a tornado come across one time, and I thought, oh, my God, are we going to make it by this thing or what? You know, but, the guy could almost write a book on the traveling sometimes.
Nothing wakes you up more at 1 o'clock in the morning than a deer running out right in front of your car. I've experienced that a couple of times, too, and that'll get you wide awake for the rest of the drive home. I know that for sure.
That's for sure. And all of a sudden, Walt, I know, it dozed off one night, and I slammed on the brakes, his head popped up, and all we could see was this big old buck going across. We avoided that one.
Now, Ron, I wanted to talk, you know, since we don't have any current racing to talk about yet, so I kind of wanted to go back in your memory banks just a little bit, and we were talking about, you know, Talladega was last weekend, and they didn't have any really bad wrecks, but you must have seen in your 30, 40 years of announcing, you must have seen some really, really bad wrecks. What kind of comes to your mind, stuff that you've seen?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I guess I'd go back to the, you know, unfortunately, when I was very young, I seen the only time I actually had to see a first moves their life was back in about 1960. I think my dad's racetrack up at Fergus Falls when Ray Garsland was in the car. And at that time, you know, they only wore lap belts. And what happened is he went off, and they didn't have a fence there. It was pretty high. It was a high bank half mile, and he went off the track. And, of course, he was hurtled from the car and up in the air like 70 feet, and he lost his life. That was a tough one there. Fortunately, after that, everything else that ever happened, Dwayne Clark at the same racetrack one time on the back straightaway. You know, we thought it was not the safest place to race those because we had sloughs on the racetrack. You know, one in the middle and one on the back straightaway. I know Clark went off the back straightaway one time and he went upside down. I hear a bunch of us could jump out and everybody's run over there and they tip him up and he soaked in a little bit of water before he got on that baby, I'll say it. He got out of there, and I thought, my goodness, it was just crazy. You know, nowadays you couldn't even do that. You know, just to think back at that one there. You know, as you go down, I know one time at Viking in Alexandria, I think a crazy thing happened where Scott Van Zeezen was coming off turn four, and you talk about rocks, a rock the size of a softball got kicked up in front of him. Hit him right square in the helmet. Ouch. It knocked him out as he came off turn four. He was driving, I think for, trying to think who they were, Randy's Super Stock that time. He went up off four over the bathroom into the parking lot. Now, I mean, you're talking, you know, going, you know, 30 feet in the air. Went out and totaled out a couple pickups in the parking lot. And luckily, nobody was hurt. The pickups didn't do too good, and the race car wasn't in great shape. And it was just one of the, when I first seen it, I walked out, I couldn't believe it, but, unfortunately for Scott, he was okay, and, you know, it's amazing, these guys, you know, after that, I think I just said, that's enough of this sport here, and you know, he got up, and he went right back out, and next week, he never knew he'd been in anything, he was right back racing again, so it just kind of shows you, you know, that there, that's two I can remember, you know, of course, the big half mile at Fargo was another one where you've seen some spectacular crashes where, you know, a couple of the sprint car guys up there went over the wall and things like that, but they all came back from it, pretty good that way. So, you know, that's been some of them. One time I'll never forget, another one that happened was at Montevideo, Fiesta City Speedway, and we're in hot laps, and it was I can't remember the driver's name right at the second, but he was driving the number three. I know it lit up like Dale Earnhardt Sr. and all of a sudden went off in turn three, and I tell you what, that car rolled and rolled. There was the body went flying one way, the motor went out of the thing. I mean, the thing was all there. You got to walk away from that baby, and I'll tell you what, I haven't seen a crash like that at Talladega hardly all day, and this was an odd lapse, you know. So the guy got up, and I wish I had the name on top of my head. It was the guy that just raced a little bit back then, but fortunately everything was okay there. So that's just a few that I remember, you know, over the years, and like I said, there's many more, of course.
Hey, now you mentioned the racetrack up in Fargo. Now what happened with that? That's completely closed down, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's too bad. They got in the deal where Danny Schatz is going to sign that lease, and the fair board really kind of limited on that. They really limited how many nights they would let him run, and of course, being a promoter, you know, he wanted to try run some specials, and I think he was only allowed to run they only opened up like 13 days, and you really need about 20 days up at Fargo to, you know, try and make something out of it, and so he did not sign the lease. Now it's still sitting there, and it's sad to see, you know, because, you got potential. There must have been 40 race cars in Fargo there, guys. And, you know, some of them have moved out, thank goodness, out to Buffalo River. But, you know, you still lose a lot of guys. The late model field, I think the late models up in this area took a pretty good hit after that. You know, Northwest Autobody had about five or six late models that ran out of there. You know, you had so many other cars, and a lot of guys just kind of finally gave it up because their sponsors were from there, you know. And it's hard to talk a guy into sponsoring if you're going to drive down to Fergus Falls or someplace else and race, you know.
It's Ron Krogs joining us here on Speed Talk on 1360. Ron, of course, the other rumor is that I-94 and Stock Center, there was all these internet rumors that it's going to reopen and called Stern Speedway and stuff like that. That's all just nothing. I mean, unless you've heard something, but I think it's just a rumor, obviously.
Yeah, I have not even heard anything. You know, I think you're right there. It looks like they've got a lot of equipment and material all stocked there. It's a beautiful facility down there, too. It's just too bad they couldn't make something work down there. But, I think the gentleman that owns it now, I think he's got, that's some pretty good real estate there, too. And that's the one thing we fight with these racetracks. And I'm sure you guys see it down there. I mean, boy, the you get in these metro areas and stuff, and even up here, you know, the real estate values are so high that boy, you know, if they can, you know, if they can break them down, you got to be careful, you know.
Yeah, these owners, these racetrack owners, aren't doing it for the money, you know, and so if they got a chance to cash in, it's pretty tough to say no. Is the hard part about that. Well, Ron, before we let you go, I know that you're good with coming up with nicknames. So I have to ask you, what's some of the best nicknames that you've ever heard in all your years of announcing?
Oh, boy, he just really got me this morning on that one. I'm about to, until I get myself going again here. You know, we've had a lot of fun with the guys over the years, and you know, but I guess as a kid growing up, you know, I remember watching a guy like a big Sweet Johnson. I'll never forget Sweet had a big crew cut on top of his head. He raced back in the 50s and 60s. You know, guys like him and Curly Topton, these guys come out. And, you know, Curly, too, has this curly blonde hair floating up there and you know, and things like that. Those are some, you know, and really, you know, like I said, the racers, I've been I'm giving some guys some names and you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know if I even dare tell you any of that I got as a favor. There's probably some I can't even use on the air. You know?
But you use them on the microphone, though, too. I've noticed, you know, Dean and I have come up with some nicknames, and people give me credit for or whatever. It's always the crew guys who feed me these nicknames. I don't come up with these nicknames. I talk to the crew guys, and they say, hey, call him this. Let's see what he says. And usually those are the ones that stick. Is that how you get them, too, like, Ron?
Yeah, that's how I get. I cheat on some of yours. You got the one, well, Matt the Hammer Hendrickson, and that's one of yours I think you brought up, you know?
Yeah, it was one of his competitors who came up with that one.
Yeah, because he's always hammering on people. When this Legends car, he was banging on and banging on. That was his racing style at the time, was bang on the rear bumper.
It was John Lure or Scotty Brandt or somebody said, we're going to call him the Hammer. And so I just started saying it, and it stuck with him. But.
Yeah, you know, you get some guys, you'll come up with lightning in a bottle, and there's some real characters out there over the years. And like I said, I wish right now, I should have prepared this and went back, because I know right now I'm kind of looking back at my guys I got out here, and I try not to get too crazy with that stuff right now. Although, you know, like you said, the ones that you get, a lot of times they get them in their race shops from their race crews and stuff, and then they slip them to us, and of course, you know as well as I do, and I know how you are. Once it comes here, it's everybody's party then, right?
Yep.
I think it's kind of funny, though. It's like if you were to sit down and write them all down, you'd have a hard time remembering. If you show up at the racetrack and you see the cars, all of a sudden they come back just instantly, what they are.
That's the way I am right now. I can sit down as soon as the car comes on track. You know, you know, like I said, there's you know, the big ones, of course, Showtime with Arment and those guys out there that they've earned over the years, you know, and the Godfather, you know, Scott Danzese, you know, he dominated biking, and, you know, they kind of called that at one time. We were kind of kidding around one night, drinking a few beers, and they called it the Modified Mafia down there at Ellicott's. Them guys, there was a little group of them guys that, you know, they kind of dominated, and they wouldn't let anybody come in and win it unless Ron Jones or somebody come in there once in a while. So they called it the Modified Mafia, and then, of course, Danzese won them 9 or 10 straight titles. Of course, he got to be called the Godfather.
That's right. That's a good one. Hey, Ronnie, we got to get going, but, boy, really looking forward to a great season. Great to have you on, and we'll keep in touch throughout the summer.
You bet. Thanks for the great show, you guys. Boy, you've been doing this a long time. Keep it up, guys. I tell you what, I really enjoy listening to all the great interviews you do with all the NASCAR and ASA people, too. So keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line, okay?
Thanks, Ron. See you later.
Thanks.
Ron Krogh, one of our favorite announcers here on Speed Talk on 1360.
We could do a couple shows with him easily, and we'll probably check in with him later on once racing gets going on later on in the season, because now we're finally at the part we can talk local racing.
That's right. Speed Talk is sponsored by Performance Driving School at BIR, Senex in Buffalo, Norm's Wayside, Highway 55 Trailer Sales, Lou Fager's Racing Equipment, and Stockholm Karting Center. We're going to do another local segment with Dan Plan from the Midwest Racing Connection right after this. Go on our Facebook page and search Speed Talk on 1360, and I'll be doing shout-outs here in just a second. Stick with us.